This morning I'm going to be reading from Acts 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them speaking in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of the Libyan near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts from Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine.
Thank you, Harold. And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word, shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the encouragement your word brings us and for the power of your word revealed to your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit who is present among us this morning, that you will speak powerfully through your word to our heart. Lord, you know our heart this morning as we come before you. You know the burdens that we bring before you today. And I just pray that through your word, you would speak to us this morning as that fresh wind, as that fresh fire that you would blow among us and rekindle within us that passion in that love for you. Lord, in the areas where we've grown cold, that you would rekindle that flame within us, that it may burn brightly this morning, setting us ablaze for you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There have been some mighty displays of power over the years. I think in the picture you've seen of the atomic bomb that was released on Hiroshima and Nagasaki was some great power in atomic energy. Or if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, and I've been to Niagara Falls and rode on the Maid of the Mist. Has anybody ever done that? And you get on the Maid of the Mist, and you're going in front of the falls or beneath it, and the power, you're just surrounded by the power of the falls coming around you. Father, you go down the river, the Niagara River, and they have a big hydroelectric plant there, harnessing that power for energy. There's all kinds of power that we can think of. But that power pales in comparison to the power of the Holy Spirit that God sent us. The Pentecostal power that came down to us and to the early church when the church was born, here as we see in Acts chapter 2. We're going through the book of Acts together in a series that I've been calling The Church on Fire. And today we come to where the church is born, and we see as Jesus had told them to wait for the promise that he was going to send, he ascended into heaven, and now they're gathered together waiting for that promise. And it happened to be the day of Pentecost. What was so special about that day? Pentecost, the day Pentecost, means 50. And it had been 50 days after the celebration of Passover. And on that day, God decided to be the day that he would send his Spirit. Pentecost was a festival that brought people from all around the world to gather in Jerusalem and worship. People from all different countries were gathered on this particular day. It was one of the several festivals that they were to follow. It was a festival of first fruits, when the first fruits of spring would be gathered in, and they would celebrate that harvest together. And how beautiful on this day, when they would celebrate the harvest, that the Holy Spirit came and a harvest of souls was reaped on that very day. But the coming of the Pentecostal power that was revealed and through us. And today we want to see the power that came upon the church in that day that have overwhelmed them through fire and tongues that came upon them And the place where they was meeting was shaken, and their lives were changed, and the church was born. That at the end of this day, when Peter gave his sermon, 3,000 people believed and were added, and the church began the day with 120 and ended with 3,120 because of the Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit at work. But that power is the same power that it's alive and present in your life and mine. There was a story about a Christian who arrived in heaven, and he met people of the Old Testament scriptures. And you know, when you're getting to heaven, and the day you get to heaven, who's one of the first people you want to meet? Of course, we want to see Jesus, and we want to see our loved ones that are there. But if you could go and sit down and have a conversation with anybody in heaven, who would you pick? A lot. It's hard to decide. Well, this man, he wanted to talk to Noah. So Noah, he wanted to ask him what it was like to be in the ark with all those animals. I guess that's a good question. To Joseph, he wanted to ask him what it was like to understand dreams and to be second in command of all of Egypt. I guess that's a good question. To Moses, he wanted to ask what it was like when the Red Sea parted. To David, he asked what it was like to take down and slay Goliath and how, but that must have been for him. To Solomon, he wanted to ask what it was like to get wisdom beyond any. And to Daniel, he wanted to ask what it was like to be in the lion's den. So he went around to all those people and asked them. And as they each responded, they in turn asked him a question. And what do you think they asked him? They asked him, what was it like to have the Holy Spirit of God living in you? Because as great as all those people were, they did not have the Holy Spirit upon them. It was in the coming of the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit dwells in his fullness in each one of us. And what a presence and what a glory that is, that the Pentecostal power of the Lord is upon us. So when his power is poured out and flowing through us, as we see the scripture together, five things will happen and result in our life. So let's go to the Word of God together and discover them. When you and I are filled with his Pentecostal power, the power of the Holy Spirit residing in you and me, the first thing is that we will be filled with his presence. The presence of God upon you. Notice what it says here. When the day of Pentecost came, verse 2, suddenly a sound of the blowing wind came and filled the whole house where they were sitting. The whole house was filled with the presence and the glory of God when he came. In the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory or presence of God dwelt in a particular place. It dwelt and resided and rested upon the tabernacle or the temple. And that's where his glory went. But today, because of Jesus, you and I are the temple of the Lord. So when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he fills our entire life and being, the whole house, with his presence. So what's that mean? That means that there is no part of your life, there is no room or part of your life that the Holy Spirit's presence and God is not abiding there. His presence extends to every part of us, to our entire being. Our entire life is filled with his glory. And notice as well that it said that it came in verse 3, it came to rest on each of them. And verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Nobody was excluded. Because see, in the Old Testament, when the Holy Spirit came, he may have resided on a person, one individual temporarily, but then he left. But not everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, every believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God's presence and fullness is residing in you. Just think of that. The fullness of his presence is dwelling in you. You are his temple, and the glory of the Lord is being revealed through your life. And his presence is touching every single part of your being. That's why the Comforter has come. And we have the promise of his comfort and his peace and presence with us. We're not alone no matter what we face. And we have that assurance. Filled with the presence and the glory and the wonder and the majesty of God. When we are saved, he takes up that residence in our life and fills us. We don't receive more of the Holy Spirit later on in our life. We receive all of him that we receive. But sometimes he doesn't have all of us. And there's still areas of our life because of sin dwelling there or because of us having our own way, that we need to allow him to fill us again. But the presence of God dwelling among us, his temple, his tabernacle this morning, resting, the fullness of God resting in your life. So be encouraged by that. Because of Jesus, because of the coming of the Holy Spirit, you are filled with the very presence of the Lord God Almighty, of the creator of the universe, of the Almighty One. Just think of that. All the fullness of God dwelling in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's hard to fathom, isn't it? But that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's part of the Pentecostal power that is working within us. All of them were filled, the whole house. We are the house of God today, filling us. Secondly, when the Holy Spirit's Pentecostal power, we refreshed by his wind. Notice what it says, that there was a sound that sounded like a blowing of a violent wind that came and filled the house and filled them. And they are refreshed. And wind brings restorement and refreshment. Have you ever been outside on a hot summer day and it's hot and it's humid and it's muggy and there's no wind? Then all of a sudden you feel this nice breeze, or maybe you're at the shore and you feel this nice breeze come off the ocean and it just brings refreshment. That's what the Holy Spirit does when he comes into our life. He brings times of refreshing and restoration. In those times when we feel dry, Ezekiel chapter 37 tells us, Ezekiel saw a store, a presence of these, was taken to by the Lord to this valley of dry bones. And these dry bones were laying there in the field. And God said to him, preach to those bones. And he began to preach to them. And the wind came and restored and blew on them. And they were brought together, bone upon bone. And they were restored and they stood up, a full army restored. And what was that showing? It was when the wind of God's Spirit blows upon us, he restores and refreshes us. Have there been times in your life you feel spiritually dry? You feel dead within? You feel like hopeless? And even as a believer, sometimes we can feel dry. We can feel like things are, where's God in the midst of sometimes where we're going? And we just need the refreshing Spirit of the Lord to refresh and revive our soul again. Have you ever felt that? When you feel his wind just blow over you and refresh and restore our soul once again. Maybe this morning you're at that place and you say, Lord, I just feel spiritually dry. The heat is bearing down on me. I'm discouraged. Lord, I just need a fresh wind to blow over my heart this morning again. I just need that refreshing of your Spirit to blow over my soul. And aren't you thankful he will and he does when his Pentecostal power is upon us and moving through this place? He moves through our life, blowing on us those winds of refreshment, those winds of restoration, those winds of hope that he brings us. Thank the Lord for the coming of the Holy Spirit, the promise that Jesus said, I will send, and now had come. And wind breathes that life. One of the words for spirit is pneuma, or wind, or breath. And that the Lord breathes that breath of life into us. And when Adam and Eve were first created in the garden, God had formed them, fashioned them by his hands, but he breathed into them the breath of life. And God, through his Spirit, breathes that life and refreshment into us. And Jesus said to John in John chapter 3 that the wind blows where it will, but we can't tell where it comes. He said, so is everybody that is born by the Spirit. Jesus said that to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And the wind blows across us, and he does his work, and we can't see maybe where it's gone, but we can see the results of what he does. And when you see the wind blow around us, we may not see the wind, but if a wind, terrible wind blows through, we can see we can see what it has done. And when the work of the Holy Spirit is in our life blowing, we can see his work within us, and others can see it as well through the power of the Lord at work. So we are filled with his presence. We are refreshed by his wind. Third, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in Pentecostal power, we are consumed by his fire. It says that tongues of fire came and separated and fell on each of them. And that fire represented several things as a picture of the Holy Spirit. It represented purity and refinement. That fire purifies and it refines. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, He refines us and burns out of our life those impurities and those things that need to be cleansed from us. The sins of the old life that need to be dealt with. The Holy Spirit pure is the purifying agent that cleanses us and refines our heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 says that our God is a consuming fire. And it was a picture of whenever the Israelites would put the sacrifice on the altar, it would be totally consumed by the fire. That the Holy Spirit burns out of our life anything that is displeasing to Him if we allow Him to have His way. But we can quench His Spirit. And that's why it says in the New Testament, don't put out the Holy Spirit's fire. Because when we try to put out His fire, He doesn't do that cleansing work within us that He wants to do. So fire brings purity. Fire, but also is a picture of passion. That we think of fire, the fire being hot and passionate. And that Holy Spirit, when His fire is burning ablaze in our heart, He gives us a passion, a new passion for the Lord. A new passion for His word. A new passion to burn brightly. And sometimes our passion and our fire and our heart by the Holy Spirit can get pretty dim. And sometimes it can almost get to a spark and our passion and love for Christ can grow cold sometimes. Have you ever been there? And sometimes we need the Lord to ignite that in us again. And to ignite that passion and love for Him and for His word in our heart. And as the fire falls upon us, He reignites that passion for Him, that purity, the cleansing. But we are consumed by His fire. Everyone that was there, they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. They all received the tongues of fire that came upon them, and they all were cleansed by it. Fire also is a pilot. That in the Old Testament, as the Israelites were being led through the wilderness those 40 years, a pillar of fire dwelt upon the tabernacle in the night and a cloud during the day. And that fire guided them. It was a pilot light for them. And it showed them the way to go of God's presence. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life, that He is our guide. It says, Jesus said that when He comes, He will guide us in the truth. He is the pilot of our life, leading and directing us, following the fire of the Spirit. So is your heart burning brightly for Him? Is your heart passionate and ablaze for Him? Or do we need the Lord to reignite that passion brighter in Him and us this morning? When that Pentecostal fire and power is filling us, our heart and life will be consumed by His fire. Every part of our life will be affected. The old things will be burned away, and our passion for Christ will be rekindled. Fourth, when we are filled with Pentecostal power, we will speak with His tongue. Notice what happened here. It says that the Holy Spirit came and filled each of them. The wind blew upon all of them. Tongues as a fire came, and it says, rested on each of them. And what does it say in verse 4? All of them, or does it say, some of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues? What's it say? It says, all of them did. And the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them the ability to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What's the Lord teaching us here? What's His saying? That when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we in Pentecostal power, we will speak with His tongue. What does that mean? There's been a lot of there's a lot of different teaching on this verse of what the speaking in tongues meant or what it does mean, but Luke gives us a very clear understanding here of it. Remember, Luke was a doctor. He was writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit, very, very detailed. But it says they heard and spoke. Verse 6, there were people gathered from every nation around the world because they had come there for the festival. And they heard, they were in bewilderment because they heard each of them speaking in what? Their known language. So what is the understanding of this? What is it saying? When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he enables us to speak with his tongue. And the point was that there were people in all languages, all around the world, in different languages that didn't understand. And the Holy Spirit came upon each of the apostles to enable them to miraculously speak in a language they had never learned before. It would be like me going over to China, never studied Chinese before, and all of a sudden I can speak Mandarin Chinese perfectly to the people and communicate with them. Now, I couldn't do that on my own, but the Holy Spirit enables us and enabled them. And the point is, when the Holy Spirit comes on us, he enables us to speak with his tongue, meaning, and what was the point? So that the people there could understand the message. And see, God has a heart for all people, and God has a heart for the lost. And there's people around you and I in our circles of influence that you know that I may not know, but in our circle of influence, they need to know that Jesus loves them. And how are they going to know unless we speak and tell them? You know, and in our own, we can't. Maybe in our own, we're fearful. Maybe in our own, we're afraid. Maybe in our own, we're timid. But Jesus said we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us to be witnesses. And part of the Holy Spirit's power in us is that he enables us to speak with his tongue. So it's him doing the speaking, not us. Jesus said to disciples, he said, don't worry about what you have to say. He said, my Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And so in those times when we need words, in those times when we don't know what to say, when the Holy Spirit's Pentecostal power comes upon us, he enables us to speak with his tongue and he gives us the words. Aren't you thankful for that? And we can trust him. And the whole point was it was known language to communicate so that people could understand the message of God for them. It wasn't some unknown language. They all were known language. Everybody understood what was being told and said to them. But miraculously, the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak. And in all the languages that were mentioned there, Medes and Cretan and all of them, and they weren't speaking in Greek, they weren't speaking in Hebrew or Aramaic, they were speaking in the heart language of the people. And the people realized, this is something amazing going on here. I'm hearing God's word. God speak to me in my own language. I understand what he's saying to me. Because under the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to speak with his tongue. Do you need boldness? Do you need, how can I share God's love to somebody that needs to know about it? Pentecostal power enables you and I to speak with the words that we don't have in ourselves, to speak in boldness for him, that the purpose was so that they would know and come, so that all we can proclaim his love to all people, and so that we can declare his glory among the nations. Verse 12 says that the people came together and they were bewildered, and they said they heard the wonders, declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. And they were amazed and perplexed and said, what does this mean? God's speaking to me. I hear his word, understand it. So when the Lord's power and spirit fills us, he gives us the word. So in those times when you say, Lord, I don't know what to say. Even the scripture tells us in those times when we don't even know what to pray. And if you had those times when you don't know what to pray or how to, and you're going through such a hard, difficult time in your life, and you can't, the emotional experience you're going through, and say, Lord, I just can't even tell you how I feel right now. I can't even communicate to you the feeling that my heart is having and the heaviness I'm experiencing right now. The scripture tells us that in times like that, the Holy Spirit speaks to the Father for us. So aren't you thankful when those times when we don't know how, we can't speak, the Holy Spirit will speak in his tongue through us? And gives us those abilities through him, through Pentecostal power. And fifth, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will be drunk on his wine. Notice what happens. It said, some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. They're just drunk. For when the Holy Spirit came upon the original 120, they were full of joy. Their life was inexpressible joy. There was a bill filled with bewilderment, and it was amazing. And people said, they're just drunk. But turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5-18, because that's not what was happening. Paul tells us what was happening here in Ephesians chapter 5:18. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, what's it say? Be filled with the Spirit. And Paul likens being drunk on wine to be filled with the Spirit. And say, well, what? What's he mean by that? Well, the Holy Spirit is intoxicating. The Holy Spirit fills us with joy. The Holy Spirit enables us, when he becomes the controlling influence in our life, he enables us to do what we wouldn't be able to do on our own. Now, see, that's what alcohol does. When somebody is filled with alcohol and they're drunk and they're filled with the, quote, the Spirit, someone who may be quiet may find, put a lampshade on their head and dancing around at a party. That's not how they normally be. Or it enables us to do something we wouldn't do on our own. That's what the Holy Spirit does when he fills us. Is we may not have the power or feel like forgiving someone who sinned against us. We may not feel like loving someone who's hard to love. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and fills us and becomes the controlling influence of our life, he will enable us to love the unloving. He will enable us to forgive those we don't feel like forgiving. Amen? That's not easy. But that happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we're drunk with his wine. And he becomes the controlling influence of our life. And we're living under his influence and under his control. The people thought they were drunk with wine. They said they've had too much wine. It wasn't that. They were filled with the Holy Spirit who was in controlling them, filling them with the intoxicating joy of the Spirit. And boy, we need that intoxicating joy of the Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you feel like dancing, shouting. You know, sometimes we suppress that. But letting him move in us and stir in us and lead us to do something we wouldn't do, like be bold and say, amen for a change. You know, and he stirs in us sometimes and we're not, it feels us uncomfortable. But the moving of the Holy Spirit within enables us to work and live for him. So Pentecostal power upon us. And when his Spirit comes, and thank the Lord for the gift of the Spirit. And Jesus said, unless I go away, he won't come to you. And that was why he ascended to heaven at the beginning of the book of Acts. And it wasn't the end of the story, as we saw. It was really the continuation of the ministry of Christ through the church. But he said, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. When I go, I will send him to you. And with him coming, we are filled with his presence. In his fullness, we are refreshed by his wind. We are consumed by his fire. We speak with his tongue, and we become drunk with his wine. Praise the Lord for the Pentecostal power of the Spirit at work within us. May he come upon us this morning in fresh wind, fresh power, and move upon us and stir in us in new ways, with igniting a deeper passion and a love for him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and the promise you had sent to him that we're not alone, that the Comforter has come. And the power, the Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit that was upon the first church is upon and active in us. And you have not changed. And we thank you for that power that was present. It says in the Word that when the Word was being created, the Spirit was hovering over the deep. The Holy Spirit's power was present at creation as the agent bringing all that into being as you, the Father, spoke. And that same power is at work stirring in us. That same power that brought Jesus from the grave is that same power at work in our life, filling us with your presence and fullness. And Father, I pray that if there's areas of our heart and our house that we have not yet yielded to your Spirit, that we are quenching your Spirit, that we allow you to have your free reign and access to every area of our life this morning. Fill us completely, because two things cannot take the same place, and we can't be filled of the Holy Spirit until we empty ourselves of ourselves. And when we are filled with ourselves, we can't be filled with your presence and glory. So empty us of anything, Lord, that competes with you, that we can be filled fully with your presence this morning. Lord, refresh our spirits this morning. Blow across us in a new wind. The dryness, the spiritual dryness that we may have and our souls feeling parched, refresh upon us this morning with new wind and refreshment and restoration. Father, rekindle that passion for us in you by the flame of your Spirit. Burn out of our life anything displeasing to you and purify us by the work of your Spirit. May we not quench your Spirit's fire, but may you let your fire burn brightly, a rekindling passion. And Lord, enable us to speak with your tongue. Give us boldness in those times when we don't know what to say, because there's people around us in our circle of influence that need to hear the story of your love and the good news that you came to bring salvation. So Lord, help us to speak with your tongue when we can't, as you enable us to do that. And Lord, as well, we pray that we would be filled with that Spirit and that fire, and we would be filled with your Spirit and drunk on your wine, intoxicated with the joy of the Spirit, and that you become the controlling influence of our life, that we allow you to do and work in us in ways that we would not do on our own without you. So thank you for the Pentecostal power and the work of your Spirit. Lord, help us to grow in him and to live in his power this week, being led by the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit, that you may be glorified through us. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.